As I said in the first service, it's so good to be with you. Let's take our Bibles again and turn back to Acts chapter 9. We had previously looked at the first two characteristics of a different kind of sinner. The first one was God arrests a sinner that He's going to show mercy to. I'm going to stop him. I'm not going to let him continue where he's going. And that sinner that the Lord has shown mercy to is one that Almighty God is going to call. Called him Saul. And the Lord gave that called sinner an inquiring heart. Who are you? An inquiring heart that never ceases to inquire. Thirdly, third characteristic of a different kind of sinner is that God Almighty takes that sinner to whom He's shown mercy, and spiritually He teaches that sinner. That's a different kind of sinner. We all hear the name Jesus. Everybody uses that stands in churches pretty much today. They talk about Jesus. But the one to whom God has shown mercy, here's a different kind of sinner. Verse 5 in Acts 9, when Saul of Tarsus said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now this is a different kind of sinner. He's one who is taught by the Spirit of God that this is the Savior. I'm Jesus. That's what Savior means. He's taught of God. He's taught two things. The Lord told him, He said, "I'm Jesus, the Savior." Not you and me are the Savior. It's not that you have a say in this thing or you have a free will. This is a different kind of sinner. One that is taught that God Almighty saves. And that the Lord is not trying to do anything. At His birth, the shepherds that were abiding in the fields were told, "The Savior, Jesus, thou shalt call His name Jesus, because," what? "He might save His people. I shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people." A different kind of sinner is one that is taught that God Almighty saves. That He has a people from the foundation of the world that He's everlastingly loved, and He's going to save those people. But there's another thing that they're taught. "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." This is another thing that man's taught. That we're rebels against God. See, man by nature thinks that, we're not really that bad. There's a little good in all of us. No. Contrary to Scripture, there's none good. There's none that doeth good. Not one. Not one. This is a different kind of sinner. "I'm Jesus, the great I am, the Savior that you're persecuting." You ask men, stop somebody on the street today and ask them, "Do you think that you're a sinner?" "Oh, well, yeah, sure I'm a sinner. You know, we're all sinners. You know, we're just sinners." No, I'm talking about a God-hating, God-despising, rebel, putrefying from the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, stinking, I'm talking about an absolute God-hating, resentful sinner. Well, now, I'm not that bad. I mean, I might have a few shortcomings, but I'm not that bad. No, this is what God teaches. that there's absolutely nothing. And you know, that's still amazing. Now, we know that. We know it. And we believe it. But I'll tell you this, we don't believe it as we ought. We just don't. But a believer will tell you, I know, no matter how bad I think I am, I'm worse than that. I know I am. A sinner to whom God has shown mercy, he's a taught sinner. Blessed by Almighty God. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Let me tell you what he told him. He said, your stiff-neckedness, when it's hard, it's hard. You know, I got to thinking about that one day. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, you show me one person that's hard. The way we think, it's hard. Not hard for me. Not hard. I thought, it's not too hard for a rebel. But that's not what the Lord was saying. He wasn't telling him it's hard, like it's a tough thing for you to rebel against God. No, that comes real simple. What he told him was, when it's hard, that word is stiff-neckedness. What he's saying is, your stiff-neckedness is what resists the call of God. I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting, and it's the stiff-neckedness of your heart. Oh, Stephen told those Pharisees in Acts 7:21, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Oh, no, as far as just being a rebel against God, if you think of the word hard there as being something tough to accomplish, that's not what the word means. Oh, well, men do that real easily because that's their nature. But what he's saying is, it's the stiff-neckedness of your heart and your ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. A different kind of sinner is one that Almighty God teaches two things, who He is and who you are. Now, that's a different kind of sinner. And I believe there's some of you sitting here today just like that. God taught you something. Fourthly, a sinner to whom God has shown mercy is a submissive sinner. Verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Saul trembled, the scripture said, alarmed at the realization of his former plight. Now you stop and think to yourself, what if Almighty God would have left you alone? I'll tell you exactly what you'd have done. Number one, you'd have justified everything you're doing. You'd have been just as pleased with yourself. You'd have been just as happy as you could be. Going to church, you know, filling up a little time. Realizing that as far as you're concerned, you hadn't done anything against God. The Scripture says, he trembled and astonished. Lord, what would you have me to do? Amazed is what, astonished. Amazed that God had shown him mercy. The Scripture says that God has a people that no man can number. But God knows them. I don't know. That's what it means. It means that I don't know who they are. No man can number them. Who are God's elect? I don't know. I see some evidence of those that I'm convinced are. But who are they? No man can number them. But when you look at any given period of time, there are in that period of time apparently just a few. Just a remnant. Just a remnant. You ladies, what is a remnant good for? Well, you take it and take a few little old scraps. Just the remnant. What was left over? Just normally what I think of remnants is just something to pick up and throw in the garbage can. That's just a remnant. Just a few little old straggly looking pieces. It's just a remnant. But Paul says there is now. There's a remnant of according to grace, according to election, a remnant. And God's people realize this. They realize that they are what they are by the grace of God. You realize that He left me alone. And you bow to that. Lord, what would You have me to do? Amazed. Amazed that God hadn't already put you in hell. Amazed that the Lord didn't leave you to yourself. Those that God has shown mercy to, realize, I was born just like anybody else. Not a bit of difference in rebellion, in darkness. And God was pleased to show me the error of my way. And He gave me a heart to bow to that. And I'm thankful. I realize that He left me to myself. I know what I've done. How do I know that? I look around. I look around and see what everybody else will do and what I would definitely do had God not called me. What would You have me to do? Not what I'd do. I was talking to Brother Todd Neibert one day. I was talking about when I was considering praying about moving to Katy. I told somebody the other day of all the decisions that I've ever made in my life. That's the one right there that I can pretty well sure. I'm sure. I think that was the right thing to do. I think that was the right thing for me to do. That's where I had to go. But do you know I struggled with that? I struggled. Somebody says, well, how do you know what to do? The Lord will show you. And the heart of a believer is this. I want that. I want what He wants. And I struggle and pray after and seek after. Lord, what would You have me to do? What's pleasing to my Master? Lord, where would You have me to go? What would You? Let me ask you this, you that believe. Do you think it's the Lord's will that you come and assemble yourselves together and hear His word? Sure you do. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I read something. I was telling Sammy coming over here. I read something the other day and I thought, that's so good. A religionist bases the worship of God or the attendance, even where God's word is preached, a religionist that's sitting under the hearing of the gospel that's never heard anything is what I'm talking about. A religionist is one that governs his busy schedule. No, I'm sorry, that governs the worship of God around his busy schedule. You know, if he doesn't go turkey hunting or go to a turkey call he governs the worship of God around his busy schedule. Well, I just don't have time. Now, I know you go on vacation. I know that some of you probably have to work maybe on Sundays. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you can. A religionist governs the worship of God around his busy schedule. A believer governs his busy schedule around the worship of God. He's going to be there. God's people want to be there. They're submissive. Do you think it's the right thing that I should be honest? Honest with men? Honest with the government? You know, I mean, is it the right thing? Somebody paid me one time in cash. He asked me, I sold them some artwork. They said, listen, I may ask you if I just kind of give you some cash right there. You know, you don't have to turn this into the government. You know, is it any cheaper? I said, I don't care if it's cash or check. I got a conscience. Is it the right thing to do to be honest? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. They're submissive. They bow to God's word. Should I support this work here? These lights, they've got to be paid for. You know, you have a pastor. He's got a salary. Is it the right thing to do? I told somebody, and I mean this, the spiritual maturity of a person is evidenced by their generosity. Generosity by their money, their time, their attendance. The spiritual maturity of a person is governed. They're submissive. What would You have me to do? God's people are not stingy, Stan. They're not stingy people. What would you have me to do? Do you think that you're going to outgive God? No, you're not. Absolutely, I wouldn't say this to embarrass anybody, but I'll tell you this. One of the most generous men I've ever met in my life, if he was sitting right here, I'd tell him, it's Brother Henry Mahan. I'm telling you, I've never in my life, he's been such an example to me. And let me ask you, have you ever seen that, anything, that the blessing of God? I mean, that's not even in my notes. All right, number five. Those to whom God has shown mercy, they walk by faith. Lord, he said in verse 6, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to take those who were of the way. And they knew it. They knew he was coming. There's a verse coming up here, and they knew he was coming. What would you have me to do? You go into that very city where you were going, where they knew you were coming. And it'll be told thee. You know, don't you think, you know, that maybe if I knew what was going to come up tomorrow, that I'd be able to kind of govern my life a little bit, John? You know, I'd kind of maybe make a few little changes today if I knew what was going to happen tomorrow. But you know what God's people do? They know this, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That there's not one thing that has ever come your way, you that are God's people, the elect of God, not one thing. I don't care what it is. Not one thing. The Scriptures set forth that Almighty God, He works. Now, how many things does He work? All things after the counsel of His own will. All things. Now, you're talking about even that, you know, the my work and my, you know, if I, you know, I was talking to Nancy yesterday, and, you know, she's gone through that knee replacement stuff. And, you know, I said, Nancy, and not one thing about that operation, not one thing has happened is not according to the will and purpose of Almighty God. This is exactly, and God's people bow to that. Everything that comes my way, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The Lord's people, they walk and they believe God. What's going to happen today? Whatever He's purposed. What am I going to do? That which I must. He's going to order all things. He's going to do all things. Necessity is laid upon a believer. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Why does your pastor show up every day to study, be here? Why does he do that? Because he must. He's got to. Well, does he have a choice? No. No, he really doesn't. I mean, you know, let him rebel against it and watch what happens. What I must do. Sixthly, a sinner to whom God has shown mercy is an abased sinner. They're brought down. Look at verses 8 and 9. And Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Now this fellow right here is the one that later on would tell us. He said, y'all want to know what my credentials were at one time. And boy, he started rattling off all that stuff. You know, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and I was this, and I was that. You know, Hebrews, and I was this. I was born here in this tribe, and this, that, and the other. And he said, all of that stuff is refuge. We just read in the first service, you know, what he considered a grand title. He said, "Don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of the Lord." Prisoner. You that are bound to Him, a bond slave to Him. Aren't you thankful for that? Abased. That's a different kind of sinner. One that God's brought down. Taught. Not proud and haughty, but given a heart that bows. I know that old heart that's rebellious is still there, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a new one there too. There's a new one. It amazes me how men will stand, and usually they'll try to take the effects of the old nature and justify everything they do. Well, you know, I'm just a sinner. Well, you know, I can't do anything. Yes, I'm just a sinner. Yeah, but let me ask you this. What about that new nature supposed to be there? Let's talk about that. A sinner that God has shown mercy to. This is a different one. He brought down. Abased. Matthew 23:12 says, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Saul had exalted himself in his own mind and before others too. And let them know exactly. Every man born in Adam exalts himself. And do you want to know how that exaltation evidences itself? And listen. This is a real revelation. It evidences itself this way in a man believing that he has the ability or has the free will to do whatever he wants to do for Almighty God. Now you talk about the epitome of exaltation in a man's mind is to think that he holds the key. I'm the one that makes the final decision. I have the ability. God wants to do something for me, but I'll tell you when God can do something for me. When I let Him. Boy, what arrogance. A different kind of sinner is one that God has taught. That's rebellion. Now, that's a different kind of sinner right there. And only God's people are taught that. That God Almighty is the Savior. Number 7. A sinner to whom God has shown mercy is a guarded sinner. What do I mean by that? Well, look at verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, I'm here, Lord.'" This fellow, Ananias, he was a preacher. He was a preacher. A different kind of sinner is one that God watches over and guards and protects by sending them a preacher. He sends them a pastor. Jeremiah 3:15, "I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." That you that believe, let me tell you something that's different about you. Let me just change a word in here too. And it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Rocky Mount named Paul Mahan. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Paul,' and he said, 'Behold, I'm here, Lord.'" And you know what God did for you? He sent you a preacher. He sent you a pastor. A pastor after His own heart. And He's watched over you. And He's guarded you. Hebrews 13. Turn over there. I just want you to look at this. Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17. "Obey them that have the rule over you." Obey. That means trust them. Be persuaded of them. Listen to them. Obey them that have the rule. How do you do that? Attend God's gospel preached through God's man. This is a different kind of sinner. God sends you a pastor. A man that God has raised up. Why? Because they watch for your souls. Do you think your pastor cares for you? You know he does. You know he does. Look at the blessing. What a different kind. God sent you a pastor. It preaches God's message concerning God's salvation. Obey them. They watch for your souls. Why? They must give account. Now, what kind of an account? I see three things. First Timothy. Let's flip over to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. I tell you this, the first thing that I know about a pastor that gives account, he's going to give account before Almighty God. 1 Timothy 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Almighty God calls a man. And He calls a man to give that man to a people. God's been pleased through the foolishness of preaching, as I've heard men say. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness. Can you imagine? This is how God watches over you. Think of what God has taught you through your pastor, through the preacher, that God has raised up in this community, this part of this state. You're a guarded people. That's a blessing from Almighty God. He gives account. He's got to give account. In His heart, He gives account before God. He's concerned. Why? He knows who called Him. He's not in it for the money. I mean, it's the right thing. He's worthy of double honor. But here's a man that realized he comes to this study and he's looking. As Brother Henry said, God's people are not looking for a message. They're looking for God's message. He sent you a pastor. What a blessing. You come, you sit, and when your pastor stands up, you know it. You trust him. You know this. Paul's not going to, by the grace of God, he's not going to lie to me. He's not going to try to steer me wrong. Gives account. He gives account, secondly, to the church. Look at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 1 to 7, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Look at verse 7. He must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. He gives an account. Paul says, obey them that have the rule of you. They give an account. He gives an account to you. You hear what he says. And it's consistent with the Scriptures. And you rest in the consistency of that message. He gives account to you. But I tell you this, he's going to also give account to himself. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8 and 9. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, nor greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. It matters to him what he preaches. He gives account before Almighty God. He gives account to you. He gives account to himself. He's God's preacher. Those that Almighty God has shown mercy to, they are a guarded people. Guarded over. Watched over. The Lord does not abandon His people. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. What does he do? He sends you a preacher. They study the Word of God and they teach. And God the Spirit takes that message and teaches you in your heart before Him. Psalm 147:3, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The salve of God's message through God's preacher to God's people. Oh, what a fellowship. You know, that's a different kind. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of them. How beautiful are the feet of them. You know what the word beautiful means? Timely. How timely. every time, how many times have you sat there and God's man stand up and he preach something, you say, "Oh, that's just exactly what I needed. I needed to hear that." How beautiful, how timely are the feet through the message of God Almighty to His people. Number 8, back in Acts 9. The sinner to whom God has shown mercy is a worshiping sinner. I know that there's a phrase that I hear often, that's, and it's in these places. It's something like when people, they're going to kind of differentiate between different segments of the message. They say, "Now this is a praise and worship. This is a praise and worship." And I think that I don't know exactly what they mean, but segment. Well, what are you going to do in this segment then? I mean, you know, worship. Worship. It actually means the kissing of the hand, to lick the hand. We've come this morning, and whether we're singing, whether we're hearing, or we're tending, the praying, this man right here, different kind of sinner, is one that is a worshiping sinner. Verse 11, "Then the Lord said unto him," that is unto Ananias, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth for the first time." But I thought he was a Pharisee. He was. But I thought he was a religious man. He was. The Lord said he prayeth. First time that this man has ever prayed. Oh, I'm not saying that he didn't say his prayers. I remember when I was in college, I used to come in after a night of reveling. And do you know, I never remember a time ever, that I didn't go to bed and say my prayers. Had a set of prayers, you know, Stan, I'd go through my prayers. And boy, I was thinking in my mind, you know what? Doesn't matter what I've done. I've just, you know, I've settled the score with God. I'm in the Lord. You know, we're in good shape now. My prayers. Saul, to that point, had done just like everybody else. He just had a set of prayers. Just vain repetition. But a different kind of sinner is one that worships. Behold, he prayeth. Well, what does a man do before? Well, I tell you what he does. He prays with himself. He prays to himself. Himself. Here's his own God. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And this is what he said. "God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." Does God hear the prayer? I'm talking about with love and affection of those that are dead. Well, let me ask you this. Let me read you this scripture, and then you just answer that for yourself. Job 35:13. "Surely God will not hear vanity." And Psalm 39:15 says, "39:5, verily every man in his best state is altogether vanity." Job 35:13, "God will not hear vanity." He will not hear uselessness. He will not hear it. Every man at his best state is altogether at his best stand. What means? When Peter stood up and says, "Everybody else may forsake you, I'll never. I thought, you know, that sounds like a pretty good stand. Well, you know what happened, don't you? A man that God has shown mercy to, a different kind of sinner, is one that worships. A bow before Almighty God. Number 9, a sinner to whom God has shown mercy is a chosen sinner. Verse 12, back in Acts 9, he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, put his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind up all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel." There's a different kind of sinner. A chosen sinner. One chosen by Almighty God. One that Almighty God has set His affection on everlastingly. He says, "Because I've loved you with an everlasting love, therefore have I chosen you." Chosen because He loved him. Never any time has Almighty God not loved His chosen. Chosen in Christ. Chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now there's a different kind of sinner. One that God has chosen to show mercy to. "I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. On whom I will, I'm going to show compassion." It's God. God Almighty has chosen you. Psalm 47:4 says He shall choose our inheritance for us. The excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. He said, "I made a covenant with my chosen." Psalm 89:3-4. "I have sworn unto David, my servant," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom David was a type, "thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations." Paul said, "We're bound to give thanks to you, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." There's a different kind of sinner. A chosen sinner. Number 10, a sinner to whom God has shown mercy is an obedient sinner. Verse 16-17, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive my sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scaled, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I see two things in there about two different men, and both of them were obedience. Ananias was told by the Lord, "You go and you go to this house right here, and you see this certain man." He said, "Lord, he's a chosen vessel unto me." And he went. He went. When Almighty God, when a believer is convinced, this is the Lord's will, I believe this is what God would have me to do, you know what you're going to do? That's what you're going to do. Those that God has given a heart, a direction, a yearning, a hungering after, and nobody is going to talk you out of it. You'll obey. Ananias obeyed him. But I want you to look what Saul did. He was baptized. Let me ask you this. Is it optional for a believer to be baptized? I know baptism is not salvation. I understand this. I understand that. Salvation, but it's the confession of our faith. Is it optional? No. No. A man or woman that God calls out of darkness, this is the way they confess. They're baptized. Those who have had the scales of spiritual darkness and unbelief removed by God's Spirit, they confess the Lord that they love in baptism. Well, I tell you what, though, I don't know. I just don't know. God's people are obedient people. They bow to Him. Number 11, a sinner to whom God has shown mercy is one that is a participant in the body of Christ. Look at verse 19. "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. God's people called out of darkness. They like birds of a feather. They flock together. They're where God's people meet. They're where God's message is preached. That's where they are. You tell me that there is a believer that can attend any place where anything is being preached, and I'll tell you that that's not a believer. God's people go where God's message is. Well, don't you think that God's people will go over here and that they could go over here to where some false doctrine is being preached and sit there and be satisfied with it and they're still God's people? No. No. They're not going to hear. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. They follow the message of salvation by grace. They follow after Christ, who set forth as the sovereign God, who chooses and lets and effectually calls and teaches under a pastor. That's where they're going to be. That's a different kind of sinner. Well, don't you pass about a dozen churches on your way here? Well, at least. Well, don't you think it'd be just as convenient? No. God's people are going to be there. Look at Acts chapter 2. I'm going to close. Well, I got one point after this, and I'm going to be finished. Acts chapter 2. And verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." And look at this. "And fellowship," Acts 2:42, "they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." God's people. That's the kingdom of God. And individuals of that kingdom have a common interest. Their Lord is their common interest, a common love, common joy, common peace, and that's where God's people are going to be. A different kind of sinner is one that will not hear anything that does not honor his Lord. If it dishonors my God, if it makes my God to appear to be a beggar, I'm not going there. My Lord's not a beggar. My God is God. Asked David, said, "Where's your God?" He said, "He's in the heavens and he's doing whatever he wants to do." That's what he's doing. Who is your God? Who is your God? I tell you what a believer says. My God is God. He's God Almighty. Well, what if somebody comes and sits for a while and they leave and they never come back again? They never, and they die in unbelief. They weren't God's people. They weren't. Is that too hard? And then lastly, a sinner to whom God has shown mercy, he's a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, "And straightway Saul of Tarsus," that boy, just not 3 or 4 days before that, "was a rebel, hater, rebellious before Almighty God. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he's the Son of God. But all that heard him was amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem?" Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, that is. That's the same man. And I know he's got the same characteristics because he said that in his flesh there dwells no good thing. But no, that's not the same man. That new man there. There's a new nature there. Is that him? Well, yes and no. Is this the same man right here that back years ago before God called me out? Is this the same man that attended a false gospel? And is this, well, yes and no. There's a new man there. That one that God has shown mercy to is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. "All that heard him were amazed and said, Is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ." How did he prove it? In the Scriptures. How does he prove it? How does any man prove? Set forth. Establish. Who he is through the Scriptures, through the preaching. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation." I hadn't preached anything that your pastor doesn't preach. I can preach anything that I hadn't preached before. Maybe a different text, but it's the same message. They're a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't come here today to tell you about how bad, you know, dancing, smoking, drinking, cussing, you know. What's a different kind of sinner? Paul says, I'm determined. Got one message. Going to preach Christ and Him crucified. That's the only comfort that a believer has. You know, we're all sinners. Understand that. Old nature's there. But that new nature that Almighty God has imparted, put in, speaks of one thing. Speaks of their Master. And every time a believer comes together, they want to be comforted in this way. Total depravity. There's no comfort in total depravity. I can tell you all day long how totally depraved you are. And that's true. But tell me how He's put away my guilt. Tell me what He's done for me. Show me how Almighty God was made sin. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, the Scripture says that He hath made Him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When He was on that cross, who was there? Well, you say the Lamb of God, that's right. Spotless Lamb of God, that's right. Holy, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And let me tell you what happened. All of God's people, from the beginning, their guilt, their nature, He hath made Him sin. Upon that cross, the Lord who was made sin, upon that cross was sin. Upon that cross was sin. You say, that's the holy Lamb of God. I know. And He hath made Him sin. Now you try to explain that any other way, and I say that as reverently. I talked to Brother Scott about that. I said, you know, I can't even hardly in my mind, I try to bring myself to the point to say that. To bring my point to say, to make that statement, and the Scripture says that. Scott said, we never, never want to say anything disrespectful. But he said, you never take away the glory of what He did in putting away His people's guilt. He said, if He wasn't made what you are, you don't have any hope. He put away your guilt. There was the spotless Lamb of God made sin. And God dealt with His people's sin in Him and forsook Him. The Lord said to His people, I'll never forsake you. I'll never forsake you. But His Father forsook Him so that He would never forsake you. Now there's a different kind of sinner that God's done something for. Put away His guilt. Now there's some hope there. Okay, Gabe. Oh, I'm sorry. Gabe's coming. Nancy's got a letter out on the bulletin board of thanks to all of you. On the bulletin board downstairs. So if you can't read that, she wanted to relate to you how thankful she was. She can't personally tell all of you, but she doesn't want to leave anybody out. So read that letter. Okay, good.